Everybody, welcome to Madhouse Live. We lost our producer tonight, so we're flying solo, and we found that in the archives. It might be a little interesting to start the show that way. First and foremost, let me give a shout-out to all our great, great sponsors. Central Oregon Trike, Global MMA Consulting, Big T's Nightclub, Draco Impact Sports, Brass Bound Apparel, 24 and LV, Triumph Fitness, Revolver MMA, Combat Sports Insurance, Ink Tank Tattoo, TankCrimes.com, No Pain, Just Glory. Check out their forum, guys. They got some great Pac Northwest rankings up in there. Vision Smoke Shop, Intimidation Clothing, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at GetClinch.com, Brawl Base. Great guys, man, doing great things. Razorware, the cutting edge in MMA today. And, Labaki, I got to thank you for joining the show once again, too, brother.
Oh, thanks, hey, buddy. Thanks for pulling double duty tonight. Huh?
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting.
Did you say Oregon Trike? Did you say Oregon Trike, Tai Chi, Trike, or whatever?
Kangu Tai Chi.
Yeah, Kangaroo Tai Chi. I got to figure this out. I'm going to have to go hang out with Derek over the weekend up at Mount Bachelor and figure out exactly what the hell is Kangaroo Tai Chi.
Dude, I think it has something to do with, like, martial arts and, like, jumping, but I haven't quite figured it out with that guy. Anybody who knows Derek?
On a trike?
I guess I don't understand where the trike comes in, because I know he has those kangaroo, like, metal feet that jump around. And he does, like, Tai Chi on them, you know, for, like, I don't know, to burn extra, you know, calories or something or, you know, whatever that does. But somehow he's twisted it all up. I don't know. You know, Derek. Everybody else out there, you know, guy from Budo Fights. And most of you have fought for him. You guys know. It takes 25 minutes to get a match made. It's great.
But after his weigh-ins, he has some seriously dank burritos for the fighters to eat.
Dude, yeah, no doubt, man. The burritos are always sick, man, like the rice and pork.
Not that I know or anything, you know. I'm not dipping in the fighters' dinner there. Maybe one.
You know, maybe one. Well, we're going to kick this show off with another great, great promoter, a good friend of ours, Michael Lawson. Let's see if I got him here. Okay, let's try this. Hey, Michael.
Don't worry, people. Skippy's new to this. He only does it every Friday night.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Hey, 10 fingers of scotch in the house.
What's up, brother?
How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Am I live?
Yeah, you're live, bro.
Look, I'm not that good on running this whole board stuff, so I'm trying to just, like, you call in. Let's hope I had the right number, you know.
Yeah, because I had a few guys I wanted to call in and speak to.
That's fine, man. We can talk about that.
We'll get them live.
We can listen. Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
We don't mind. We're kind of like that.
What's
right
been going
now,
on?
Nowhere. Not much, man. How's everything out in Indianapolis, bro?
Can't complain. Can't complain. Coming off a big show in October. Now we're just getting geared up for
February
23rd.
Right?
Yeah. And then we
and
have
and that'll be under the Mad Wolf banner, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, you have another big card early next year, but a little bit later in the year on April 20th, right?
Yes, April 20th, we are taking 125 through 170, the top 10 in the state, and then 185 and up to super heavyweight, the top 6 in the state. We are going to do a 10- or 6-man tournament or 8-man tournament with the winner receiving a 6-foot-tall trophy and a Indiana State belt saying they are the best one in their weight class.
Cool.
Dude, Dude, that's going to be badass, man. What, so how have you guys been doing the rankings? Or are you going to go off Fight Matrix, or?
No, we got some people doing the rankings for us. The rankings should be out very, very soon. We had a couple guys jump different weights, so we are waiting to get, you know, a confirmed date or the confirmed weight where they want to fight at, and then we're going to go from there. They should be ready midweek next week, hopefully the day after Christmas.
So Christmas is actually coming late for you this year, then?
Yes, that's going to be the best Christmas present I could ever have, other than the wonderful guys who fight for me every 6 weeks, you know.
Now, is the tournament going to be a multi-night tournament, or are you guys going to go with the classic one-night tourney?
Indiana, you're not allowed to fight more than you have to take 8 days off between fights. So we're going to do every 6 weeks, we're going to pop off a tournament show, and then we're also going to have five or six other fights besides the tournament fights the same night.
And will those work as a as a replacement? Will there be guys that are fighting on those nights that are in case one of the dudes, like in case a guy that won ended up actually having being injured and being out longer than 6 weeks?
Yeah, what we'll do is if we have something along the lines where, you know, a guy gets injured in a fight but he still wins, what we'll do is our next show, we'll skip his fight and then we'll have two guys who got beat in that tournament fight to move into that guy's spot. So it's something we've been thinking about for a while. It's something that's going to be long and, you know, not really drawn out, but something that, you know, that's going to be good for the state of Indiana to recognize the who's who's.
Dude, I actually like the idea of bringing back guys that have lost and having them fight to have that shot to get back in. I think that's actually a better idea than having guys, just replacement guys fighting on the side of the tournament. And at the same time, I think it's a lot better than just bringing in a guy that was a replacement and wasn't originally in the bracket. So definitely kudos on that portion of the plan, I think, for me at least.
Yep. I mean, this is what we've been doing, man. It's been, we got 20 big fights signed, sealed, and delivered for February. It's called Night of the Champions. All six belts are on the line that night. So
now who are you going to use to main event, or are you just going to call it a huge co-main?
What I wanted everybody to do is for the fighters who are fighting for the belts to get a hold of their fans, their family, take a picture, say, you know, something along the lines, put, you know, the 205 title, Adam Waters against Enrique Nunez as the main event. Something to get the fans more active. We got things going on where people were wearing Mad Wolf shirts in, like, the most random places. Take a picture of it, send it to us. They'll get to present the belt. Like, we had one lady wear one to church. Stuff like that. So we're just trying to get a little more fan active and get the fans getting to do stuff, too.
Dude, how do I find the Mad Wolf page on Facebook?
Underneath Mad Wolf Promotions. Right now our website is, we're getting a new website built, so you can just go to the Facebook page of Mad Wolf and order shirts and DVDs of our last events and stuff along those lines.
All right, for all the people that are listening, I'm going to post a link to the page on Facebook. You can just go there. And I'm sure Michael or somebody will have the instructions on how you can pick which fight you want to be as the main event that night so that the fans can have their voice heard. Man, I really like that. So, go ahead.
Is there any way that we could call a few people in for me so I could present a couple awards to them?
Yeah, no, man, most definitely. Skipper, are you ready to do that?
Well, actually, I've got Brad, I believe, from Fight Science. He's in queue. Let me bring him on real quick.
Okay.
Let's see, because, man, these numbers just keep filling up. Let's see if I get the right one here. Let's check it out. Hey, is this Brad? Hey, Brad.
Yeah, hello? Get stern with them, Skippy.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear you. This is Tom from Fight Science.
Well, we got Tom.
I think Brad's out there somewhere. I know he was going to call in. I just called in, and somehow I got patched right through.
Skippy can't figure out the number. So, Skippy, look for a similar area code and activate that one, and that will be Brad.
Okay. Hey, Brad, you with us, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We got two guys so far, and we'll stick with that and Michael Lawson. Michael, why don't you take a run at it from right here?
Tom and Brad are two coaches from a gym in Lafayette, Indiana, who have fought for me a few times. And I actually wanted to tell everybody that that their gym, after voting, we voted their gym for Gym of the Year. So just a little thanks to Brad and Tom for everything they do, for their fighters always being there when they said they're going to be there. And stuff like that. So I just want to say thank you guys for everything you've done.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, congratulations to you guys on receiving that award. For the listeners out here, you know, I mean, most of our listeners might not be familiar with you guys. Why don't you guys tell them about your gym there, Fight Science, so that they can get an idea of what you guys have going on.
Go right
ahead. All right. All right. We've been around a couple years, and we're here in Lafayette, down off of Teal Road, and you know, we're primarily mixed martial arts, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school. Brad is our BJJ black belt instructor, so we're very fortunate to have him on board. It's good to have an instructor of his caliber right in your camp all the time. And I primarily run the MMA side of things. And just as a team, we pretty much train 7 days a week. We just have a good group of respectful guys that train hard. And, you know, anything that this gym does well, it's because those guys put their time in, and they just get after it. And we're blessed to have a bunch of good, respectful guys that really are there to better the sport, and at the end of the day, to better themselves every day.
That and our jiu-jitsu, everybody that fights for the team, we have our straight jiu-jitsu classes, and all the cage fighters that train up there, they also train with the gi on. They also do the just straight jiu-jitsu class, and then they mix everything together.
Sounds like you guys have a really great plan of attack for how you want to handle the training aspect. And obviously you guys are having some serious success. And the thing I think that sticks out with me the most right now is the fact that, you know, and a lot of the things that Michael touched on with your fighters always being on time, on weight, you know, it sounds like you guys, you know, obviously have a good, respectful group of fighters. What kind of an honor is this for you guys to receive this award here from Michael and Mad Wolf?
To me, I think it's a great honor. I think it's a great honor. I mean, it shows, and it makes all of our guys, I mean, it shows them that what they're doing is paying off. Win or lose, they're paying off. They're putting their heart and soul into it and learning from each fight, and it just makes everybody want to do it more and more and more.
Michael, do you have anything you wanted to say to him?
No, I mean, like I said, I just want to thank them for, you know, always being there when they're going to say they're going to be there, showing up, you know, on weight, you know, no problems, no backlash from any of them, you know. They're the type of guys that you want on your cards where you can call them and say, hey, guys, there's an opponent change, and, you know, you know, they don't give you the whole, well, blah, 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 blah. They just kind of like, okay, well, we've been training. So, you know, as long as it's a good enough fight, we'll take it. So, you know, if there's, you know, they definitely deserve it. And, you know, this all around they have, you know, and then they also, they're hooked up with a team down by Louisville. which is Brad's brother's team, and they're the same way. I mean, they're just, I don't know, just a great group of guys. You can tell they all come from the same pole corner, if you want to say it like that. But, you know, you can tell they come, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, they're on weight. They don't say, well, you know, whatnot. They're just there. They fight. They do their thing, and then that's it. So,
yeah, thanks, Mike. That's, you know, we just try, you know, just strive to do the right thing, you know. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's not about the accolades or awards. It's really just about, you know, doing the right thing. But it's nice that there's a little recognition for the guys, and we appreciate you guys, you know, taking notice of their hard work.
I really appreciate Michael, you know, doing this on the show, and we got some other guys lined up. So before we wrap up with you, I want to give you a chance to give some shout outs, you know, make sure everybody knows how they find you. You know, we got fighters all across the country who travel out in your region and might want to stop and train. So any way that, you know, people can find you, why don't you go take a run at it?
All right. We're in Lafayette, Indiana, Alpha Teal Road, 2655 Teal Road. You can call me at 765-532-6851, and we are always down for cross training and getting to work with other fighters. As long as they can leave the ego at the door, we're all about it, man. Just hit us up and come on in.
And if you can't get a hold of Tom on his, you can get me a hold of me on mine, 765-413-7828. And like you said, anybody's more than welcome to come check it out.
Oh, and one more thing before you let those guys go. Brad's son, Bradley, I don't know if he can hear me.
Hey, Michael, I got him right here. I'll go ahead and put him on real quick.
Okay.
Perfect.
Hello?
Hey, Bradley, it's Michael Offenhauer.
Hey, Bradley, you're live on Madhouse Live Radio. You're on with Lopaki Skippy and obviously, you know, Michael Lawson.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to also, I'm giving out awards tonight, and I just wanted to make an announcement to let everyone know that Bradley's fought both of his fights at Mad Wolf, and he's won both by a very quick and very precise submissions. So I'm going to just want to announce it here that his submission, he got fastest submission and submission of the year, voted by everyone at Mad Wolf. So congratulations, Bradley.
Thank you. It was an honor to fight for you guys.
All right, man. You're welcome anytime, and we'll be seeing you in February.
Oh, you will be.
Hey, talking to those two fights, I got to ask you, what was the one thing you learned the most out of those?
What did you say?
What did you learn the most out of those fights that, you know, he's talking about? They sounded, you know, I mean, I haven't got to see him, so obviously they were a great learning tool in your career. So what did you learn from those kind of, you know, fights?
I got to set up a lot faster and, like, look at the details a little bit more. Because, like, I was watching my videos, and, like, a couple parts in the videos, I could easily, like, the guy could easily escape and caught me with something. Just those fine little details I forgot.
Oh, well, that's great.
Hey, Bradley.
Bradley,
just for the listeners that aren't familiar with you, can you give them your first last name, maybe a brief record and stuff like that, so everybody can know who you are in case they're looking for active fighters right now?
What'd you say?
Can you give your name and your record for any of the promotions outside of your region that might be listening?
No, I don't have any. The only place I fought is for Mad Wolf, but I'm 2-0 right now, and I'm fighting for Chris Lytle's event January 11th and then Mad Wolf 23rd.
Awesome. And so which fight, Michael, won the submission of the year, and what was that submission?
Well, his fight with Aaron Meadows was the second Mad Wolf event, or the third one. I think it was, Bradley, you might explain a little better than me. I've got so much going on right now. I know it was he had him in the submission for a long time. It was beautiful. I'm not really big on the jiu-jitsu name, so I don't want to mess it up.
What happened is I had a sloppy takedown. I did it wrong. Fell in the guard and got a triangle and then got him with a straight arm lock from there.
And that was the exhibition of the year?
And then the fastest one was against Christopher Jewell with a triangle at our first event. I think it was like 14 seconds or so.
No, the second one was 42 seconds, and the first one was a minute 41 seconds.
Yeah, after a faked glove touch.
I believe so, if that was Aaron.
Well, once again, Brad, thank you so much for everything you do, and Tom and Brad also, and everyone at Fight Science, Brandon, Jake, Jameson, everyone over there, I appreciate it, and we'll see you guys in February.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys. Okay, Michael, we've got another caller for you. We're going to bring him in. Dustin, you there?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, not much. Welcome to Madhouse Live.
You know, just living the fat, dumb, and happy life right now.
the fight life between camps, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, it's always a glorious time when I'm not really settled into camp.
So, okay, now I'm just going to ask a quick question. It's kind of off the topic here before you and Michael chat for a second, but as a fighter, how nice is it to not be in camp during this holiday time where you can kind of just eat and enjoy food and not have to sit around and watch everybody else grub down?
Well, I was a wrestler for the better part of 15 years now, so this is actually, you know, one of the few times in the holiday seasons I've been allowed to eat because, as you know, wrestling is October to February or March, so I didn't really get holiday meals before then, so this is kind of nice getting to sit down at family meals and really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I can imagine so. Can you give the listeners a brief bio about yourself so that they kind of have an idea of what you've accomplished and what you're looking to do?
Well, I'm a former collegiate wrestler at the University of Indianapolis. Been training for about 3 years now, been fighting for about two. 5-0, five first-round finishes, three submissions, and two TKOs.
Very nice. Michael, do you want to talk to Dustin?
Yeah, Dustin is actually the 170 champion at Mad Wolf. He's fighting February 23rd against a seasoned vet and Justin Curtis, which everyone's saying, you know, today this is going to be Dustin's biggest test. And I agree completely, and I just kind of wanted to get Dustin on here and, you know, give him the recognition that he deserves. And, you know, he knows I love him and thanks him for everything he does. And he's a good guy, you know. Anybody out there looking to, you know, get a good 170 on there that'll come and bring the shows, you know, Dustin's definitely the one to get a hold of.
Yeah, I love working with Mike Lawson and the guys at Mad Wolf. Great guys, put on a great show. And also a big shout-out to the guys at Fight Science because I've also worked with them, and they're great people too. So I was glad when they won that award.
Dustin, I have a question because one of the things, like, since I've met Michael earlier this year, one of the things I noticed about him is how much, like, he's actually in it, I think, more for you guys than he is actually for himself. What's it like to fight for a promoter with that kind of mindset?
Well, it's nice because he, you know, Lawson's not in it for the money and the fame. He's in it because he loves the sports, and he loves the fighters, and he loves working with us. And that's something that's nice to see because, you know, sometimes you'll see promoters or managers or, you know, people in the sport who are in it, you know, just to try to make a name or, you know, pick up girls at the bar. And it's nice to see someone who's, you know, down to earth, honest to us, and, you know, and really wants to help you as best he can.
Yeah, I imagine
hey,
so.
Let me jump in. You know, obviously, you know, Michael speaks highly of you, and so does Lafaki. You know, he has a figure a little bit more depth in your area than I do. But let me ask you, with the growth of your career, have you looked to maybe even try to go train in opposite parts of the country or maybe different parts of the world to advance your game?
Yeah, I've looked at it. Right now I train in my home gym at in Plainfield, Indiana. It's on the southwest side of Indianapolis, Dragonfly MMA. And Contenders Wrestling Academy is actually my brother's wrestling academy that I also train out as. So I train mostly out of there, but like I said, I've worked with guys all around the state, guys like Fight Science Gym, Team Marcelo Montero for jiu-jitsu, you know, a lot of really good guys. The problem with me traveling around the world is I'm a 20-year-old college kid, which pretty well is one of the few times in life being poor is acceptable. So, money. And
I like that.
I'm short on it.
No, you're not trying to live a fight career eating ramen, are you? Hopefully you found a food sponsor.
Yeah, you know, Mom doesn't let me starve yet, so.
Well, you know, I got to ask you, you know, you said that your brother runs a wrestling academy. How diverse is your overall game? Do you feel, obviously, growing up with a wrestling background, do you feel that that's your dominant suit, or do you feel you're well-rounded in your game?
I mean, if you've seen any of the tape on me, the game plan's not a surprise to anyone. There's no, you know, shocking revelation that at some point I've wrestled for 15 years. You know, I wrestled at the collegiate level for a year, wrestled some of the best there are. I mean, I'm going to take you down and I'm going to beat you up at some point. But I feel overall my game's getting more and more rounded as, you know, the days go on. I spend maybe 1-2 days a week working on my wrestling now and, you know, 5 or 6 working on my striking and my jiu-jitsu. So, you know, my game's rounding out as we go.
Now, have you at all felt it easy to mesh your striking with your, you know, almost, you know, natural, you know, daily wrestling ability that, you know, it's obviously ingrained in you after that many years? Are you having any trouble merging different sports with your wrestling, or do you find it very easy?
One of the nice things I've found is, you know, my coaches all work together to figure out what's going to work for me. You know, my brother's watched me compete for years. He knows how I'm supposed to look, when I look natural and when I don't. And, you know, I have a great Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor in Kenny Bigby. He's a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under the same lineage that actually Brad Maddox is, which is how I knew him. And he's, you know, a black belt in Taekwondo and a Muay Thai expert. He's, you know, just a nasty, nasty instructor. So he also knows, you know, when I look right and when I don't, because I've been training with him now for 3 years. So it's been a learning curve, but, you know, overall, now that I've started competing more and really hitting my stride, it's been nice.
Do you like having an instructor who's so maybe nitpicky about technical aspects of your game?
Oh, you need that. That's, you know, we're big dudes wearing little gloves. At some point, the little details are where they're going to get you. You know, if you watch any, you know, big highlight reel knockout, it's not that the dude's hands were on his knees and he, you know, didn't know what he was doing. It was he made a little mistake and got caught. And those are the type of details you have to watch.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that you know, we see you grow and see you on some of the bigger stages that are available for athletes. Obviously, you know, Michael, throwing your name out there, you never know what's going to happen. We've seen some crazy people get contracts and fight offers off this show just by getting shout-outs. So, you know, I definitely want everyone to know how to be able to find you. So you, and any sponsors you have, any shout outs you want to give, why don't you take a run at it, brother?
All right. I appreciate it. You know, if you were looking to find me anywhere, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, dparish_170, or you just put out #TeamBamBam, because that's my fight nickname. You can find me on there. Sponsors, I want to give a big shout out to Fly's Gear. They're a great local company doing great things for local fighters in Indiana. Clothing is another big sponsor I'd love to give a shout-out to. They do a lot of good things for guys around this area, too. So just want to thank everyone for having me out tonight.
Hey, Dustin, before you go, bro, I got a question, man. What finish was your favorite finish so far?
my title fight was probably my favorite finish of all time because I took the guy down, you know, passed him out pretty quick and got a – he gave me his back and I took a rear naked choke and props to the guy, he wouldn't tap, but he ended up going unconscious and I had to roll him off me to stand up. And that was just kind of a feeling.
For the title, to put a guy completely out, yeah, I'm, and that was against Christopher Birchfield?
Yes, from Ohio.
Yeah. And I want all the listeners to know, man, I've been following Dustin on Twitter for a while, dude. This guy is hilarious, man. So it'll definitely be worth the click. And he's got a good little crew of fighters that he runs around with out there in Indiana. So keep an eye on him and his friends. What, is everybody else being quiet? What the hell is wrong with you guys?
No, I'm sorry, dude. Like, I told you, man, I'm all new to this crazy board stuff. And I just tried to throw his name in it so I would, you know, tweet it out. And now everything is going weird. So.
Did we lose the guest? Is Michael with us?
No, we should have Michael and Dustin both still. This is their live. Michael, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and I'm still here, too, so.
Okay. Yeah, okay, right, cool. Don't hang up quite yet. Michael, you got anything else you want to, you know, say to him before we wrap up this segment with him?
No, man. I just want to say, Dustin, thank you for everything you've done. You fought at me at Indian MMA, and you fought for me at Mad Wolf. And I just want to say thanks for always being there, being professional, on weight, ready to go, you know. Never turn down a fight. Never turn another cheek to any opponent, you know. You're ready to go, so. Thanks for everything you've done for me so far. I think we got a bright future if we just keep our heads up. Stick together.
Yeah, I appreciate it, you know. Got to keep your head on straight sometimes, and I'm just excited for this matchup with Mr. Curtis here. It should be a great test for my career and hopefully another win in my belt. Going to be a hard-fought win, though, that's for sure.
Now, do you feel this is going to be the toughest competition to push you your hardest in training and fight that you've had yet, or do you just feel this is an upper echelon fighter?
Oh, I, you know, there's, you can't take anyone lightly in this sport. You know, anyone on any given night can beat anybody. And Curtis is one of those guys who is, you know, he's nasty on the ground. He's a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's really good on his feet, too. He's very well-rounded. He's one of those guys I have to worry about, and I have to focus, and I have to train hard and show up, you know, with my head on right that night. I can't just look past him just, you know, because I have a good record or, because I've beat people before. I have to show up that night and fight the perfect fight.
Great answer. Well, you know, Dustin, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in and you know, let Michael do this and spend time with us, letting the fans around, you know, all over the world listen to the show get to know you. You know, hey, we look forward, you know, maybe we can book you on the show right before that fight or right after and, you know, to see how everything went and talk to you about your future plans as well and spend a little bit more time getting in depth with you.
Oh, sounds good, brother. Whenever you want to have me on, I'm more than glad to.
Well, I know Lepaki can get a hold of you, definitely, and so can a lot more fans now. You guys on Madhouse, on their Twitter, we just put up his Twitter name for all you guys. You want to follow him, he's a big up-and-comer. Dustin, I really appreciate your time. Lepaki, you got anything you want to say?
Hey, no, man, I just best of luck here February 23rd, Dustin, and, you know, we'll talk to you shortly.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on, and thanks to all my fans for the support.
Hey, have a good night, brother.
Thank you, you too.
Michael, I love it when you come on because you always open our fans to just great up-and-comers. People in the West Coast or Canada or overseas, you know, who are like us and really love to follow, you know, the up-and-comers, the grassroots of the big sports. You know, you always bring us just tough guys and great fighters, man. I appreciate that, Michael.
Oh, no problem. There should be one more guy calling in, if that's okay, for a few more minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
we
got plenty of time with you, man.
There should be a 765 number calling in.
Michael,
yeah.
How nice is it having a guy like Dustin Parrish? I mean, he sounds so respectful and humble and I mean, for a guy that's 20 years old and in the middle of college, that's not the attitude that you would expect, you know?
Having guys like Dustin there on my show, you know, when he goes and fights other places, you know, he represents Mad Wolf, you know what I mean? I mean, all the guys that fight for me are that way. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. I bet you 9 out of 10 times you could walk into any locker room and you would hear someone bitching, groaning, complaining, just wanting to change their man pond, man. It's like, man up, you know? You're here to fight. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just you're here to fight. And, you know, like I said, all the guys that fight for me, they come in, they weigh in, they come back the next day, they show up, they fight, they do their thing, they hug, they, you know, they thank me, and then they leave. And it's like, that's the best feeling in the world when I don't have to say, you know, I don't have to keep calling these guys, are you coming? They know, okay, Lawson says be there at 5. Most of them are at 4:30. And so, you know, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys.
I think that a lot of that has to go with you and the way that you carry and handle yourself, Michael. I think that you definitely lead by example and have a very bright future in this business. And I'm glad that we've met, you know, at this stage in both of our careers so we can grow, you know, together and see just what all this game has to offer. Now, when you were giving out Gym of the Year, what type of criteria did you guys look at as far as making those selections?
You see, you know, the rear naked chokes or, you know, you see stuff like that. But there's some things that just grab your eyes. Like, holy hell, like, did that really just happen? Like, with Bradley's straight armbar or, you know, just his, with him being so young and such a student of the game where he's just, you know, on it. Or, you know, you have guys that just come in there who are just like, you would think these guys are making big money contracts, but I mean, they're just getting, you know, their ticket sale money. They're out there, you know, you would think, you know, these guys put in the time in the gym. You know, we just kind of want to tell them, thank you for everything you do. So, and, you know, we base it upon, like, the number of wins at our show, you know. We don't really depend on, well, they're going to go over here and fight and, you know, they may have won by, you know, a cool-ass move over there. You know, this is about, you know, Mad Wolf and what they do at our events. So,
hey,
Michael,
I think your buddy just called in. He didn't say anything, and then he just hung up. So if you have access to him, you might tell him to call back. Oh, hold on. He just called back. Let's try this.
Don't worry, Michael. It's Skippy's he's a newbie, bro. He'll get used to this someday.
Oh, whoa. Like 756 numbers just came up. Okay.
Yeah.
Who am I looking for, Michael?
Cameron Van Camp, Kyle Van Camp, Mark Cobb, or Joe Hyten. Any of those four.
Okay, we're just going to bring everybody, the first two on that are here. Okay. Who do I got?
This is Joe Hyten. Cameron should be calling in also.
Okay. Let's check the next number and see who this is.
Hey, Joe, you're on with Skippy, Lopaki, and Michael.
Okay. 336. Who is this?
On with Skippy, Lopaki, and Michael.
Hello?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Not bad. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, who do we got here?
This is Joe Hyten.
Okay, you're still okay. I just trying to make sure, man. Dude, this is not easy for me. This is all new. I usually don't.
Okay, step out of the room so that the three of us can chat and figure it out. You're looking for Cameron and Kyle Van Camp, and who else, Michael?
Mark Cole.
Mark,
this will be 317.
All right, figure that out. Michael, what did you want to talk to Joe about? Okay, hold on. Who's got the show playing in the background? They got to turn it down.
Hello?
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe Hyten is actually the trainer and the team manager of Hyten MMA, which is Cameron, Kyle, and Mark's coach.
Oh, awesome. Why don't you tell everybody about your gym real quick?
Yeah, we're located right outside of Crawfordsville, Indiana, off of 136, 525 West. The Warren family has been generous enough to let us use their land to kind of build a gym from the ground up. We've just been fully developing and producing a young, great team this past year and a half.
That's great. So now, what types of training can the guys get? And are you guys are you guys focused on just all around, or do you have a area of specialty? Or
all around, we've got guys that pretty much since they were 8, 9, 10, all the way up to present. I've done years, also trained with Marcel Ma, along with several, just to gather knowledge, you know, to show and help others progress and but everybody brings their own tools and their past knowledge and experience, and we share it together.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
You know, we got a lot of people starting to call in, so let's. I'm going to let him give some shout outs real quick, so we can roll through and get everybody a chance to get on here. So,
okay.
I'll let you wrap up with him if there's anything else you want to say, and then after that, we'll let him do any shout outs to sponsors, social media, stuff like that.
Yeah. I just wanted him to come on while I talk to his team. But you know, Joe Hyten has fought. His team has fought with me since January of last year. They've had guys on all of my events, anywhere from 2 to 3 guys at a time. You know, it's just, you know, they got a great group of guys down there. You know, they come to do it, and you know, they're just, you know, they're the same way. They come. They don't ever complain about an opponent change. I guarantee you that I've called Joe Hyten and changed his guy's opponents probably between 5 shows, probably 40 times.
Joe,
and it's
Joe,
always,
how
it's always the same guy.
Yeah, he might be exaggerating a little bit, but there's been times it's been pretty chaotic, but. Once he gives me a name, you know, one of my pet peeves is if I can find him online and I can watch any other fights, of whether it's a 2-minute fight or 3 or 4 fights that are short or whatever, I study the guy. I compare him to the guy that we're, you know, against him. And I pretty much analyze and see, you know, where my guy can come out on top of this. And if it makes sense and I feel like it's a safe fight for our guys, then there's no reason to turn it down, because we're in the amateur level, and right now is when you learn, and you know, you might lose. But luckily, you know, this year alone, we're on a 13-fight win streak. We've gone 14-1 in the past 12 months. So far, we've made the right decisions, and we came out on top each time. So it's worked out all right. And, you know, my hat's off to Michael for dealing.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, your team and students, let's bring Cameron.
Cameron,
you there,
hang
buddy?
Out with Joe.
Hang out with us, Joe. Don't hang up. Here, I think he's live now. Cameron, you live?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
Bring
You're on Madhouse Live with everybody. you know, I'm going to bring, I guess he's your brother, I believe, Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to bring him on as well. And obviously you're on with Joe Lopaki and Michael Lawson. You guys are going to all, you're all live on MadhouseLive.com. Welcome, Kyle, as well.
Hey, how's it going?
Not
good.
Too bad.
Is Michael there too? Skippy, is Michael there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, bring him in and then let Michael talk to him.
Okay, and then we've got Mark as well, correct? So Mark's on with us too.
Yeah.
You there, Mark?
Kyle.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's start with Cameron. Michael Lawson, we'll start with Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron is my 55 champion over at Mad Wolf, and he was also my 55 champion at a company that shut down after a few shows. I just want to tell him, you know, thank you for, you know, always being there and, always fighting for me and, you know, sticking to what he says he's going to do and, you know, does it. And, you know, he never, you know, it's like everyone on his team, man. They don't bitch about nothing. They just fight.
Hey, Cameron, you know, I'm not blessed to get to see you fight every weekend. I do know who you and a lot of your team is. You guys make waves all around the country. You know, for us, we have a lot of respect for Michael and what he's producing in the way of a product out there. That says a lot. I mean, how do you like fighting for his organization?
Well, Michael's a good guy. He always puts on a good show. There's a few organizations I've fought with that there's some shady stuff going on backstage and no one ever sticks their word, but with Michael's shows, they always go well. There's never any problems. He really puts it together good and runs a good show.
Sweet. Well, Michael, who do you want to talk to next?
Mark Kolb.
Well, have a go at it, brother.
Yeah.
Take over, Michael, and tell Skippy to shut up for the next few minutes.
Hey, what's up, Jack?
Not much. What's going on, man?
Nothing. I just want to bring you on with your teammates, man, and say congratulations on your win in October. And I think if you stick with those guys, man, you got a bright future ahead of you. And I look forward to you fighting for me, you know, more and more. So, you know. Oh, if you guys remember last time that Cameron was on with me, this is the Joker with the comb over. So
oh, this is the guy with the comb over?
Oh,
yeah,
hey, man, my comb over is pretty sweet.
This is the guy. His comb over is better than Mike Ricci's off the Ultimate Fighter. I'm telling you, dude.
Hey, and the good thing about it is, if you need a comb over, I'll cut it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you need your toes done.
Ask Mark where I got his nickname. Because I'm a cosmetologist, and my team decided to give me the nickname instead of letting me choose mine. That's how it came about.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, if somebody tries to give you any, I mean, I guess giving you shit for doing that would maybe not be the best of ideas.
Hey, but you know what? I often ask myself, what do people feel when they get punched in the face by someone who does a very girly job? That's the way I look at it. It can be negative on both sides, but I like the way I look at it.
Dude, you're like, after I knock you out, I'll fix your hair.
Yeah.
I'll make sure you're
going to
make up
with that shit.
Dude, that's a gimmick, man, right there. That's a niche to get your name out there, man. You can start calling yourself the barber, dude. After I've done kicking your ass, I'll fix that nappy haircut.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it, bro. I love it. That's sick, dude. That's one of the best stories ever for a nickname.
Hey, but you know what? You can't beat it, and no one else will have that kind of story behind their nickname, so.
No, I highly doubt it. I mean, that's sweet, man. Yeah, that's what you should do, man, at Steroffs. Be like, dude, after I whoop your ass, I'm going to cut your hair.
Hey, man, I could walk out in, like, a barber smock to my next fight.
Oh, there you go. Dude, you put your sponsors on it? Oh, that's prime, man. You could sell that to the sponsors easy, bro.
Dude, get, like, a leopard one and put your sponsors on it.
Hey, straight up,
all right, I'll
no
think
joke.
About it.
No joke. Hit up, like, some
right, Michael,
Dallas
Michael,
Sooner,
take back
Paul
over.
Mitchell.
Michael, Skippy, you're done. I'm cutting you off. Michael, you got to take this back over. Skippy will blabber on all night.
That's awesome. And then Kyle Van Camp. I know he's somewhere.
Yeah, you got me.
Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Congratulations on your win Friday night.
I appreciate that, you know.
And this is another award that we... Huh?
It was different, you know. I miss fighting on your show, though. I'm going to have to get back and hooked up with you here soon.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be in February. I'm going to have the Heighton boys back on the card. And the reason I really wanted you to call in tonight is we all sat down and talked about it. And Fight of the Year goes to Kyle Van Camp and Tyler Jones. I don't know if you haven't seen the video, look it up. And then there's these things called novice rules where the first three fights, there's no ground and pound. These two guys are both 2-0 coming to the fight. And these two guys sat there for 9 minutes and, I mean, beat the fuck out of each other. There was no quit in either one. These guys sat there and literally beat the fuck out of each other. So Kyle Van Camp and Tyler Jones is Mad Wolf Promotions Fight of the Year. So congratulations, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate that. You know, anytime I can come on and put on a good show for a great promotion, a great matchmaker, you know, I'll do that anytime. I'll stand up and bang it out.
Hell yeah.
Kyle, can you maybe tell all the listeners about the fight?
Well, the fight, you know, he was 2-0 coming in. I was the same. I'm a wrestler is my background, but everything I'd heard about him is Tyler Jones had some great jiu-jitsu on the ground. And with the novice rules, you know, I couldn't strike to the face. So going to the ground really put me at a disadvantage. So we talked it over as a team, and my whole game plan was just try to stand up and bang it out with him. And that's where we went. He went for a couple of takedowns. You know, I tried to keep it up, and I thought it went my way pretty well. I got a couple of knockdowns, stuff like that, and I guess the judges saw it the same way. So overall, it was a great fight and, you know, just a great time.
Sounds like it was a tremendous fight. And what does it feel to know that you just got a fight of the year for Mad Wolf Promotions?
Oh, that means a lot because, I mean, this is a great place to fight. Tremendous talent fighting there. And it means a lot that I thought that much of the fight to get a fight of the year. I'm very excited about that.
Now, is this something that you're going to hold over Cameron's head for all of 2013?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know it. He's got the two belts. I got to take what I can.
Now, would you fight him and put your award on the line against his two belts if Michael would book you guys in a catch fight?
Absolutely. We've talked about this several times, but no, I mean, you know, he's one of my very best friends, my best training partner. We know everything about each other. I can never see myself actually getting into the cage against him.
What would your mother say if Michael tried to book that fight?
Oh, you don't even want to know. She would freak. She has enough problems with doing it, period. If we're in there against each other. Oof.
Here's the thing, though. They're both coming into this State 55 tournament. They're both in the same weight class. So, you know, Mama Van Camp may not be happy come May or September. So,
we'll have to see how that all works out.
This is great, man. Michael, what other fights, so that the listeners can know, were in contention for the award that you just gave to Kyle and, I'm sorry, I forgot the other guy's name.
Tyler Jones.
Yeah, Tyler.
Cameron and Jameson's main event fight at the last, in October, that was a really good fight. James Bubb and Kamal Macon. That was a really good fight. James Bubb took took a beating. I mean, his face looked like he got smacked with a hamburger mallet, man. And, you know, he won comeback. He got comeback of the year. I mean, I know he's probably not listening, but James Buff got comeback of the year. You know, everyone had him down and out, and he just come back and, you know, pulled off the victory. You know, so fastest knockout of the year. He's probably not listening either, but is Johnny Neville. He's the only knockout that's been on our show. 14 seconds.
That sounds vicious.
Yeah. It was like one of those things where you see someone fake a punch and then they get hit, they fall on their ass, their legs go stiff, and their legs start vibrating. That's exactly what happened. We're averaging anywhere from 13 to 17 fights a show. Oh, yeah, and, you know, about the fight of the year. The other one, it was between Van Camp and Jones, Van Camp and Sharp, and Clawson versus Levi Rose for a 35 title. You know, there was just so in our July and October event, man, there were so many good fights. You know, Lloyd Thornton against Justin Dowsett, you know, a stand-up guy against a ground guy, you know. It just kept going and going. There's just so many. I just wish I could say, hey, you all win fight of the year and just give awards to all of them. But, you know, man, it's just we've got big things planned for Mad Wolf. You know, the fight science guys are involved in it. The Team Heighten guys. We got guys from American Top Team. We got guys from Team Hoedown. We got guys from Bronx Hill, which is Brad's brother's camp. We got guys from MMA Fit Club. You know, we just got this tournament coming on, and I mean, there's just so many fights. Everyone, go to Mad Wolf Promotions YouTube page and just check these out. These fights from October. There's some these crazy ass fights. These guys were getting down. I mean, you know, we've had some banging wars. Another fight on our October event included 285 pounders who stood in the middle of the cage and just screamed at each other and were wooing like Ric Flair and was just literally beating the shit out of each other. So, you know, I got to give a shout out to Robert Wolf. You know, without him, there would be no – without Robert Wolf and everybody else, there would be no Mad Wolf Promotion. So, you know, he's a great guy to work for. You know, he'll give you – you know, it's something that's special to me. Mad Wolf is something special to me. Everyone that fights on is special. You know, so we look forward to everything with this tournament coming up, man. I mean, we got some of the top guys in the state going at it. And our card in February is just freaking sick from top to bottom. I mean, so.
Well, hey, Michael.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Hey, before we run out of time, let me start with Kyle. Kyle, you got any shout-outs, any social media for fans around the world to find you? Any sponsors? Run at it.
Yeah, Team Height and MMA, we got a Facebook page, Twitter account, all that. Look us up.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Check it out.
Okay, Cameron, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me too, Cameron Van Camp. Shout out to my sponsors, Pro Power, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, and Rev Gear.
Oh, we love Clinch, man. Big sponsors of our show, big sponsors of fighters all across the world, man. Dude, really love them guys. I guess we lost Mark. So, Joe, you got any sponsors or any, you know, gym information you want to throw out to fighters out there? Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to give a big thanks family for letting us use the facility at their house and having the patience and supporting the guys. Shout out to all the guys. I couldn't ask for a better bunch of young, responsible, respectable young men that go out there and give it their all every time. And all their sponsors, we've got several local sponsors on top of, you know, Rev Gear, Pro Power, Ink Therapy, Tattoos, Billy Fish Photography, and so on. There's so many people to thank. And, you know, Michael Lawson, obviously, and Robert Wolf for putting on great shows. Yeah, visit Team Height and MMA on Facebook and give us a like. And if anybody wants to come out and cross train with us, you know, 765-376-0056. Our doors are open. Thanks.
Hey, I just want to say congratulations, Kyle, on Fight of the Year. I'm sure that you're going to not let Cameron live that down for a while, especially now that you know that your fight beat out one of his fights. I'm sure that'll make the next few days at the holidays very interesting. Joe, we really appreciate you guys coming on. Skippy, you got anything you want to say to him?
Hey, I appreciate all you guys. Everybody out there, get out and support local MMA. Get out and watch these guys. Take the $44.95 you'd spend on a Zuffa event just one time this year and go buy a ticket to see the Van Camps kick ass. Go take that $44.95 and buy some wraps and give it to Joe down at the gym for the kids. Support local MMA, man. If we want to see these kids at the big show on the big stage, you've got to support them now while they're growing. Support their sponsors, their gyms, the promotions like Mad Wolf and Michael Lawson, folks. Let's get out there and show our support for local MMA. And I appreciate you guys, all you guys coming on tonight.
Thanks for having us.
You guys have a good night. Michael, you chill
Michael,
for a
don't
second.
Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere, Michael Lawson.
All right.
Okay. Michael, you know, we have super mad love for you here at Madhouse. I know tonight was a little crazy. It didn't probably go as smooth as it normally does when you get to hang out with us. I can't thank you enough for, you know, once again, you know, announcing your awards on our show. That was really, really cool of you, man. You know, thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, no problem, man. You know, I'll kick it with you Madhouse guys anytime. But, yeah, I mean, this tournament, I mean, you know, I know I'm probably out of time. I mean, this tournament, everyone who's interested, if you fought in Indiana at least a couple times and you're interested in this tournament, get a hold of me, Michael Lawson on Facebook. You know, I'm always on there, you know, either talking about eating donuts or talking about fighting. So one of the two things, if you don't like fighting and if you like to eat, you know, hit me up.
Or if you like to drink scotch, you can hit him up too.
Yeah, definitely that too.
Michael,
I want to say something real quick though. I mean, before Skippy goes off on another soapbox here. Hey, everybody out there listening that fights for Michael Lawson, if you want to show him some appreciation, he would love some hot donuts and a nice bottle of scotch. that might go a long way.
Single malt.
Single malt probably, you know, a 12, 18 year. He might be able to give you more information on that. But, you know, it's the time to give back and maybe, you know, slide Michael a hot box of donuts and some scotch.
Yes, and my birthday is Friday, so I expect birthday wishes, gifts, scotch, donuts, hot pockets, Eggos, whatever you want to give me.
Oh, Michael. Hey, you know, definitely after the first of the year, let's get you on to sit down and go over this whole tournament, all the individual players. Let's really, you know, go over what you're doing.
Sounds good, guys. Just, you know, like I said, Facebook me, Twitter me, you know, whatever else you can do on social networking me. I mean,
well, and please, as soon as you have this initial list this week, man, tag us. Let us know, man. We'd love to share it for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I mean, like I said, the trophies, the big trophies, is just one thing. I mean, we got big announcements come from this tournament. You know, and we're not doing this tournament just to stroke Mad Wolf's ego. You know, this is a statewide tournament. This is, you know, the best guys from all the promotions, you know, coming together to fight, to put, you know, put what they have online. I mean, we're going to have national collegiate wrestlers, D1 wrestlers in this tournament. We're going to have Golden Glove champions. We're going to have brown belts, black belts. Dude, there's going to be so much for everybody. There's not going to be anywhere, oh, well, you know, this guy doesn't deserve to be in there. These guys are getting picked by credible people you know, who know the sport, who just aren't in it to say, okay, well, this guy sells 80 tickets and this guy sells 40 tickets. These are the best of the best. We're going to have guys from Evansville, Indiana, which is 5 hours away, from guys up by Chicago. I mean, we're going to have guys from all over the state, all over, you know, some guys from Ohio, just coming to show what, you know, that they're the best. There's, you know, and this will settle everything. You know, this is, you know, it's from April to September. So, I mean, you know, it's not going to be, you know, okay, well, it was thrown together real quick and it was, you know, just they need to fill spots. No, it's not that. If we don't feel like we have enough quality, enough fighters in each weight class, if we only have eight quality fighters, we'll cut it down to eight. If we only have five quality fighters, we're going to cut down to five. But I'm telling you, if you enjoy the October event, you're going to freaking love the February event. You know, Twitter, Mad Wolf, Facebook, Mad Wolf. Get your tickets. Get your DVDs, man. I'm telling you, 2013, Indiana MMA as a whole is going to be doing big things, man. There's so much going on. In the first 6 weeks of the year in 2013, there is eight shows in the first 2 months. So,
well, we're definitely going to have you back on to talk about that. I've got about 25 seconds before we got to play a little commercial break. Michael, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to do this, man. This is super special of you, man. And Madhouse.com, you know we're big supporters, and we thank you so much.
Right on. Everyone, thanks for listening. You know, we'll see you guys here soon. I'm going to be on Facebook here in about 5 minutes talking about some good stuff. So just hit me up, Facebook and Twitter. Everything else, once again, thanks, guys. Thanks, Robert Wolf. Thanks to Wyndham Hotel for letting us do our events there with a bunch of crazy lunatics with gloves on beating each other in the face.
Hey, have a good night, Michael.
All right, we'll see you.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick commercial break brought to you by Take Crime.
Every beat of sweat, I live for that.
after a crazy first hour, that was definitely needed. A little commercial break, man. You guys, I definitely miss our producer. It's a daunting job.
I miss you too, buddy.
I think everybody misses him.
Especially yeah, you're right, dude. I think the listeners are like, how did these two goofballs get in charge of those?
You know what's so funny is, when we do the other show, like, it's totally different because we don't have to do all this. We just get to kick back and be jackass.
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, plus, dude, you just had like 40 callers.
Yeah, dude. Speaking of this next hour, we're going to have...
Hey, hold on, man. I want to say something real quick, man. I thought it was really cool of Michael Lawson to come on and announce his awards for Mad Wolf Promotions here with us tonight, and I want to thank him for doing that. It was pretty cool getting to hear the backstories and the comparisons.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Microphone instrument thing, touching this and that. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Honestly, I went right away. Everybody out there, you can find it on Twitter, Facebook. We put Fight of the Year up right away. I was watching it during some of the talking, and it looks definitely like the first round definitely is an impressive round, so I can't wait to watch the rest. You know, we're going to spend this next portion of the show talking about Unified Combat League's event coming up. And they've got
Rise of a Warrior.
Yes, and then they've got a really kick-ass tournament to talk about as well. It's been a night of tournaments. We're going to bring Jesse
on right away.
Jesse, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Is Jesse ready for the feet to the fire?
Say yeah, is that who am I speaking with? I'm not sure who all's on.
Okay, so right now, you're live on Madhouse Live with Lepaki and Skippy. You know me, we get to talk all the time. Lepaki, my co-host and partner in crime in this show. Normally when you deal with our producer Carl, you don't have to, you know, we just get to hang out with you. So tonight we're going to try to keep it pretty similar to that, so I don't have to mess with too many buttons. You know, but we get to have you for about the next 50 minutes, and we get to talk to you about a lot. There is a lot you are doing with not only your promotion, but also throughout the whole North American continent. So I say let's start with Rise of the Warrior. I think that would be, since that's the soonest event of all these, I definitely say let's start with that. And why don't you talk a little bit about that event? Coming up, God, you're only 16 days away.
Yeah, this card, it's in our hometown, so it's one of the, it's a really easy card to put together. We've got a great community here that shows up in force every single time. We've, they're big fight fans here. We got a lot of really tough wrestling talent, and a lot of real tough kids, man. We've put together one of the best cards that Kami has ever seen, man. So we're waiting to hear back on a couple of guys too. A couple of last second fights that we've been looking at for quite a while that might work out. So it's UCL 16 Rise of a Warrior. So it's gonna be a good time, man.
Well, we were talking about the card a little earlier, and for anybody out there who's curious about anything we're going to be talking about tonight, you guys can go to unifiedcombatleague.com, and believe it or not, you can even find our radio player under their TV section, which is really cool. They've been a long supporter of us, and we're a big supporter of what they do, bringing local MMA and all over North America, especially Canada and the Pac Northwest to all you fans. I've got to ask you, we were talking about this card. To me, it seems it is stacked with the lightweights. Is that just because there's that big of an influx of those classes? Or are you having a tougher time finding the upper class that has the talent to be on your cards?
Here's the deal, man. We've got a lot of heavyweights here. But they've just been fighting so much lately, There's a big demand for heavyweights in Spokane, a lot of the surrounding areas, and these guys have been fighting so much, and I don't like guys fighting more than, you know, once a month, especially amateurs. I want amateurs to train more than fight, in my book. And I'm not a coach or anything like that, but I just, in my mind, that's how it should go. As an amateur, you should be training more than you should be fighting. And these heavyweights, they've been fighting a lot, so I don't want to overextend them. So you're right, it's a lighter, a lot of the guys on the card are lighter weights. But the other thing, we just don't have a whole lot of, like the 85ers, there's not a lot of 85ers around, the middleweight class, there's not a lot of 205ers around. The ones that are here are good, and they're really experienced. You know, they've pretty much ran through everybody we've put in front of them. So, you know, now I can't really put them on a card unless I'm bringing somebody in from, you know, way out of town. And you know, again, these cards, the crowds sell out, but these venues are a lot smaller, so you can't really afford to bring guys from other states over here to compete, right? So,
yeah.
What's that, sorry?
Well, I was going to, you know, ask you, you know, with this influx of the lower weight class being more readily available, have you found it tougher in any way to make matchups?
No, I don't. That's kind of a tough one. Not really. Like I said, I have the toughest time matching the heavier weight classes than I do the lighter ones. The lighter ones, I've got tons of guys. And and here's the other thing. We've got where we're at. There's a lot of kids. Like I said, I mean, the community really gets behind it. So there's a lot of guys that are, you know, 17, 18 years old that are doing it. And when you're that way, you know, I mean, when I was, I think, 18 years old, I weighed like 140 pounds. Now I'm like 205 pounds, and I haven't grown an inch up, man. It's all been out. So it's not hard finding the lighter weight guys. You know, they all want to do it. You know, they're all really good athletes. So, you know, it's, I don't know. The other thing is, since we announced the NORAM championship, we've had a ton of guys at 55 and lighter, 35, 45, and 55 that have all been, you know, pretty much clamoring to try and get onto that card. I don't know how many guys I've referred to are the District 1 host up in Spokane. He's the guy that's going to be doing the matchmaking, Kevin Farger with the Spokane School of Boxing and MMA. He's going to be doing the matchmaking for those cards. So, you know, even though it's a UCL NORAM championship, he's the guy that they need to talk to. And, man, he's probably getting tired of guys calling him, to be honest with you. So it seemed like the second we put the word out there that these kids could be fighting for a pro contract. And I don't know about the rest of the country, but in the Northwest, there's really no game plan to, as an amateur, to go through and get a pro contract. And that's kind of what we're offering. We're giving these guys, look, you're going to fight with this NORAM championship. You get through, if you win your district championship, four fights in a row, you're then going to be put on with another three fights in the finale. If you win that, you're getting this pro contract. And it's excited a lot of guys, man. A lot of these dudes that don't know how to make it there now kind of have a bit more of a game plan. The chore for us now is kind of sorting through the guys that are ready to go pro or will be ready to go after, you know, their next six fights, you know, within the next year or so. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no, if you can walk through your, you know, if you can go through, you said, you know, a total of seven rounds and have your hand held at the end, you've definitely proven that you're the best amateur in the country, and it's time to go pro, because right there you just reeled off seven wins. You just beat guys from every region. That's something fans out there need to understand. Once again, go to unifiedcombatleague.com. You guys can see the districts. You got Western Canada, Eastern Canada. You got North Latin America, which is going to be Mexico. And then you have the Southern Latin, which is going to be the lower peninsula and the Gulf states around there. which to me is a beautiful deal. Then you got the Southwest U.S., Southeast, Northeast, and Northwest. So you guys understand that this is not just who's the best in your town, who's the best in your state, who's the best in your region. This is for amateurs to prove who they are the best and the top amateurs in the whole North America. That's what I think is cool.
That's Skippy talking, right? Sorry, I'm not sure who I'm talking to, but yeah, Skippy.
Yeah.
The other thing, not only are they going to be the best, but they're also going to be marketable. These deals with the thanks of you guys helping us get the word out, we're talking to a lot of other people as well, getting the word out. If we can pull this off as a company, these guys are not only going to then become true North American champions, but they are then going to be marketable because everybody in North America is going to know about them. Everybody that pays attention to amateur MMA should know about them because, like you said, they've just rattled off 7 wins in a row, and the last three, you know, the first 4 of those wins are against the toughest guys in their own region, and the second 3 are going to be against the toughest guys in all of North America from the other 7 districts. So, and again, if you think, that's the benefit to a lot of these regional promotions that we're using, like the Spokane School of Boxing and MMA, it puts them on the map. It gives them more exposure because the other districts are then paying attention to their district to see who their district champion is going to be because their guy might be facing their guy in the finale. You know what I mean? So,
makes sense.
Not only that, Skippy, but we've been working our tails off to, I know originally we kind of our goal was to just do this online, just do the broadcasting online so that it stays accessible to everyone worldwide. Because the goal is within the next 5 to 7 years, we want to be worldwide, global, having a NORAM championship here in the next few seasons. The next jump from there would be a NORAM championship and a South American championship, same exact business model. Then, we have those 2 champions fight for a Western world championship. Same thing on the eastern side of the planet. This thing's huge. We're excited, man. And there's a lot of stuff going on here, man.
Now, with this, let me be honest, with you having the ability to also run secondary events, do you have, obviously you're going to keep producing your normal events that are separate from the tournament. Do you have any long-term goal to use your events as maybe proving ground to get people's names in the tournament, or are you going to keep that completely separate?
That's the thing. Like our, here's the deal. We want to support local MMA as much as we can. Every promotion that we know of that is as solid, it does their matchmaking as solid as possible. Excuse me. Every promotion that we know that does solid that treats their guys right and is a good quality promotion, they can come work with us. We'll turn them into a qualifier card, that it's very simple. And a qualifying card is basically all that is like this show we've got coming up on the 5th of January, the Rise of a Warrior. What these 55ers can come in and do, they can come in and really put on a show, and what that's going to do is catch the eye of Kevin Farger or myself or, maybe Kevin's, if he's planning on hiring an outside matchmaker. That's pretty much it. They can get onto these shows through pretty much any qualifier outside of it. So, 16 guys, the District 1 is Northwest U.S., that's Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and I think Nebraska. I don't have the map right in front of me. But in all of those places, there's 16 tough 155ers. And at some point, they're going to have to start doing something. I assume something similar to, the Ultimate Fighter, where you're doing tryouts just to get onto the district championship. Again, we're just starting out. We're just getting this off the ground. So we're not quite there yet. But as soon as word gets around, this will be, in my opinion, the pinnacle of amateur MMA within North America. So, and not only that, but we're going to do it in a way that supports regional promotions that are like mine. The UCL, the qualifier cards that we do are really small cards. You know, there's a lot of really top level, you know, quality promotions. Rumble on the Ridge, the King of the Cage up in Coeur d'Alene. There's tons of them all over the place. Cage Sport, you know, they're everywhere. So we want to do it in a way that helps those guys. It increases their bottom line. It gives them a lot more exposure. If we get this TV deal worked out, it's going up to 75 million homes. This is going to be big, man. If we can get the TV deal done on top of the online broadcasting, that's going to give them a ton of advertising value in itself so that they can sell their own sponsorships to a much larger their own sponsorship premium becomes much larger because they're getting put on a nationwide scale, if that makes sense. So.
No, hey, Flip Hockey, man, that makes a lot of sense. My question is like, how many different events, like, okay, so for the opening round in District 1, will it be a one-night event for the opening round of all the weight classes, or are you going to have to use multiple events?
Well, we've got, and this is another deal. In the past, we've ran small tournaments ourselves on our local cards, and you do. You have a lot of guys drop off. I think we were talking about this on the road last week or week before. You have a lot of guys that do end up dropping off due to injury or whatever. So we've allowed the promotion, the host promotion, to split that first round into two shows. So they've only got to do, you know, four fights on the first show, then, you know, a month or two later for the second quarterfinal round, they can put the other four fights, right? And these are all random draws, too. Once we get the pool of 16 guys, they draw for which show they'll be on, so it's totally, they're not biased at all, because obviously the second round is going to have less time to prepare the second portion of fighters for that initial round is going to have less time to prepare until the next round pops up, but. That's the long, confusing way to say yes. The promoters can split that initial round into two. sorry about
Jesse,
that, man. My wife just fixed me up with an Advocare Spark, and I don't drink them that often, so I'm amped up here, man. It's like catnip for me.
Dude, the Advocare Spark, dude, may be the greatest energy drink created. I worked at All American Fitness out in Tulsa, and the guy that ran the pro shop had this energy drink, and it was called the Razor. And I think that's the only thing that's ever worked better than an Advocare Spark for me.
Yeah, they're good, man. I love them. So, it's like catnip for me.
Catnip.
Now let's look at. I kind of want to look at this, the Rise of the Warrior card and the heavyweight fight with Corey Roberts and Jacob Lotz.
Yeah, they're. I'll tell you, Corey's had a couple of tough fights, and he's. I think his issue has been cardio, man. A lot of the heavyweights around here. They haven't really been training cardio-wise. They're all big, tough guys, but, you know, they don't really put in their road work as much as they should be. So I'm kind of excited to see the last few fights. His hands are quick. You know, his head movement's good. You know, his ground I haven't really seen anything of, but his Achilles heel has been his cardio, but he knows that after his last fight in he did over in Yakima MMA's show, I think he won that first round, and then second round he came out and he just gassed, you know, and that was it, you know. So I'm excited to see if he can do it. And I've never seen the other kid fight, Lotzi. He's 1-0. I didn't see that first fight he was in, but his coach says he's, you know, a tough young kid. So we're gonna see, man. That should be a good one. The fight I'm excited about probably the most is we've got Diego Valverde. The top four fights on that card, I wish I could have four main events. Diego Valverde versus Tim Pepperdine. Diego is he's 2-0. He's a little bit inexperienced, but the kid's been – he's ran through both of his other opponents, bigger kids than he is by far. He's a really tough dude. His opponent is Tim Pepperdine. I think Tim's 4-2. Tim's a multiple-time state champion wrestler. You know, he took a couple of tough losses himself, took a little time off. He's been getting back to the gym. So that's going to be a good matchup. Brian Morrow versus Cody Smith. Cody Smith, hands down, this guy, he's like Rocky Balboa's brother, man. He's got heart for days, man. He's the only guy I've ever seen take a beating for three rounds and never even once questioned giving up and ended up losing via decision, but that's his only loss. He's now rattled off three wins in a row. Brian Morrow, his opponent, is karate. I can't remember the brand of karate. He's a karate black belt. Supposedly, he's been working on his ground game quite a bit, too. So we'll see there. Patrick Kashmitter and Thomas Jacobs, both big athletic 85ers. Same deal. They've ran through their opponents as well. And Alfred McClure, he's our hometown man. That kid's a stud. This kid does backflips like, you know, I mean, he's about as showy as they get. And his jiu-jitsu's really come around. And the guy that he's fighting, I don't really know a whole lot about Wind Cutbirth, but you know, I guess we're gonna see. He's from what his coach says, he's gonna walk through Alfred, and I think Alfred probably doesn't think so. So all four of those.
How cool of a name is that?
The undercard, Jack, too. What's that?
How cool of a name! How awesome would it be to be able to go around and be like, I'm Wind.
Yeah, no kidding. He needs to have that name in the club, man. Hey, I'm Wynn. Can I buy you a drink?
Hey.
Something like that.
I know that you can't always trust MMA Underground for records, but it shows you he fought at Young Guns against Timothy Shanks. TKO Wynn did not answer the bell for round two. So, Washington, there's a lot of fights that they don't register up in Washington, so there could be a fight or two that could be on here. But right now it shows he's undefeated with basically a TKO to stop the guy couldn't answer the bell.
And I've got a guy, I think, did you say it was Shanks?
I think his name is
Justin, but I've got a guy on our Hall of Shame that was a Shanks, and I don't know if is it Justin Shanks by chance?
It says Timothy Shanks.
Oh, okay. Well, a different person then. Yeah, I was gonna say if it was the other kid, I could see why he didn't answer the bell, but I've never seen him fight, so I don't trust any of it. I mean, I posted a deal on Facebook the other day talking about that very deal, man. There's so many promotions up here, and it seems like 90% of them don't report their results, you know. So, I mean,
How much time do you got? Because this is not a subject that, man,
You don't want me to get going.
Yeah, look, we're watching, you know, we watched this whole thing, and, you know, thanks to help from, you know, mutual friends we both have, you know, like Molly, you know, helping me meet some people to give me advice and stuff. You know, we were able to go and talk to the commission, me and Lepaki and a group of other media and promoters, and to try to help get some rules changed, which they're now being changed. But because promoters in Washington didn't register fights, guys like Christian Grave were suspended indefinitely from fighting. And even though his losses were all title defense losses, decision losses, he had wins in Washington, but they didn't register him, so they were going to ban this kid.
Okay. That's the guy that we were talking about from Oregon, right? The guy that
had
title fights. Yeah, that's, you know, that blows my mind, man. That just, like I said, I think that's that rule is a politics thing. You know, I'm not sure really what the reasoning would be for that. So,
well,
Jesse,
you know, go ahead.
How difficult is it to submit the results to the Underground or MixedMartialArts.com for people that aren't aware?
That's exactly my point, man. Not only that, but these guys, most of the time, if you haven't done it in two or three shows, they'll send you a message. And you know, I won't lie, I've forgotten to send one of them. You know, I've forgotten to send one of them a message with my results, and they got a hold of me. You know, the next month, it took them a while, but you know, I was like, what? How? I don't understand. It's an email, you know, and that's it. You don't have to even give them a ton of detail. You just get them the results, man. It makes me angry to see a guy like Dustin Medlock that is literally has one fight on his record, and his official record is, I think, 1-0, and the guy's 10-0. You know, that's his amateur record is 10-0. I imagine if you probably if you looked up another guy that. And I haven't. Yeah, I might be sticking my foot in my mouth, but another guy like Jordan Cook or something like that, really top level guy, 16-1 as an amateur, and I bet not even half of those fights are recorded. So it makes it tough for agents like Molly, you know, quality agents. How does she know in South Carolina who the top guys are in the Northwest? You know what I mean? Without guys submitting their paperwork, and that very well. Dustin is a really tough kid, and without any way for her to see, without us referring him to her or her to him rather, there's no way he would have been noticed by her, just because his record isn't just because a guy was too lazy to spend the 2 minutes to send one email to three or four different record reporting companies or, you know, I'm not sure what the hell you would call them, MMA Underground or MixedMartialArts.com or ShareDog or any number of places out there, you know?
I recommend Tapology.com, personally, myself.
What's
I
that?
Think that's the best. I recommend Tapology.com. But for official results, all promoters need to be sending their stuff to MixedMartialArts.com. That's the only site that most states recognize as the official record holder, no matter what ShareDog has or...
And that's what I originally did. That's the first place that I sent him. And then after a while, it's just like, dude, all I have to do is add shared. I just add the other guys to the email, and it sends it to them as well. So,
I'll tell you what, you should definitely get your cards up on Tapology, so all us fans can make our picks and predictions for the fights. That's one of the best things about Tapology.
Cool, dude. Hold on, I've never actually been to it. I've heard of it.
Oh, dude. Hey, I'll shoot you a link, man. When the show's over, I'll shoot
Jesse,
you a link. No problem.
Jesse, like,
MixedMartialArts.com
shows Jordan Cook as a 1-0 amateur and a 1-1 professional.
Yeah, he's 1-1, and that's there. Point proven, man. That is my exact point right there. One of the top 145ers, in my opinion, and I'm not sure. I think he right now as a pro. I think he's maybe fighting 35, but not sure. One of the top 45ers in the Northwest, definitely in Spokane for sure. And you know, Spokane's got a lot of tough dudes. You know, so 16-1, man.
That is
1-0 online.
For Spokane is full of tough dudes. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they just get bored up there because it's like tumbleweeds and snow and dirt.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Molly earlier. She, I told her the same thing. And I think per capita, the Northwest, Spokane, as far as cities in the U.S., I think per capita wise, Spokane's, you know, I mean, maybe like a Boca Raton or something like that. I don't know what the population there is, but Spokane's got to be right up there.
Hey, Jesse, for all the fans out there so they don't feel left out, we're talking about Molly from Southern MMA, so anybody out there, they know who we're talking about, so they understand that we're talking about somebody on the opposite coast that is very good. They work with both Jesse and Madhouse quite a bit. Great company. I love the lady. She's been nothing but super sweet to Madhouse and very helpful, and she's a great lady. And, you know, it's funny because Lee Morrison called in earlier tonight, and he wanted to talk to you, and then he just, he probably got sick of waiting because he called in too early. But then I see that article about Southern MMA, and then Molly comes up. So I just, weird coincidence how the world goes around.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Molly, that was the thing. The Skippy, I got to thank you for hooking us up because she's been great, man. And we did a lot of research on her before I even got in touch with her. And she's doing big things, man. That Southern MMA Management, they just got together with I think not Advanced Sports Labs, Jay Augusta and Combat Sports Insurance. That's got to be like. Yeah, one of the only combat sports insurers, you know, that focuses specifically on that sport.
They're a proud sponsor of Madhouse. We love them.
Yeah, the guy's a stud, you know, and Molly's hooked up with him, and I'm a firm believer in you are your company, man. So those are the people that we want to be working with, the people that are trying to progress the sport and make it a better sport, you know, and she's doing it, man. Molly Hoskinson, Southern MMA Management, and Jay Augusta, Combat Sports Insurance. So those two are top-notch in my book.
Right up there, and everybody
out there knows you can go to MMA Madhouse.
Well, thank you. Everybody knows you can go to MMAMadhouse.com, and you'll see the Combat Sports logo. Just click on it. It takes you straight there. Those guys can get you same-day insurance for your events, man. Look, it's the right thing to do. You want to throw a promotion, make sure your fighters are safe, make sure everything in your event is insured so that you can, you know, produce a quality show if that's fun for fans and safe for fighters.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, I hate to keep plugging Jay, but the unfortunately they had a guy pass away on the way to weigh-ins the day before the event. And so what does Jay do? He goes and talks to his underwriters or whatever. You know, I'm not into insurance a whole lot, but I don't know much about it. He goes and figures out a way to cover them for the same expense, cover fighters for the day of weigh-ins as well. So if you're driving to weigh-ins, the day of weigh-ins, if you're on the way to the weigh-ins, if you live in Newport, Washington, and you're driving to Spokane for weigh-ins, you crash, break your leg, you're covered through Combat Sports Insurance. So, and that's the type of people I want to be working with. He did not have to do that, and he did. So, you know, that's top-notch in my book.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, Combat Sports Insurance, they're a kick-ass group of dudes. Molly's a kick-ass lady. You know, it's so interesting that not only is she managing goofballs in South Carolina, but she's got goofballs up here in the Pacific Northwest, and who knows where else she's got some goofballs planted at, but she does a great job, man, and she takes good care of all her fighters, so, I mean, definitely hats off to her.
Definitely. You know, you can't ask for better. She's such a great lady to work with. And before we get too much away from what we were talking about, I got to ask you, you know, this card coming up, will this also be streamed like always?
You know, this one won't. Like I said, it's a smaller card. We're going through and what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to hire staff that will be able to sit down and just spend the time to find quality advertisers, so that we can bring a quality production. I don't really want to put anything out there if it's not quality. You know, we've had a couple of streams in the past that we've tried to skimp on costs-wise, and it didn't turn out good. You know, I wasn't happy with them. It's not the product I want to put out there. It did get extra added exposure for the fighters, but really, I don't want my product out there unless it's top quality, or at least it looks that way. So that's the process we're in right now, is just hiring staff. We're vetting some staff to bring them on and flat out all they're going to do is talk and sell advertising for these shows to pay for quality broadcasts. So this show, I don't think we're going to have it done. I mean, it's only 2 weeks away. And so, yeah. Here, 1 second. Good to go. So, anyways, sorry. You guys still there? Sorry, my phone.
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay.
Well,
that,
you know, look,
yeah,
I understand why you took that stance. I will tell you that, you know, I've caught, you know, quite a few of your streams in the past, and, you know, I'm a fan of the product you put out there. You know that. You've known that for a long time, that I'm a big supporter of what you do. You know, it's a bummer that I can't make it. I don't know. I'm waiting for Nick Carroll to get back with me, our guy up by you, to see if he's going to be able to make it. But we're going to try real hard to make sure we got a team member from Madhouse there to cover it.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be a good show, man. Like I said, there's a lot of really tough dudes on this one. If Nick's coming down, just have him give me a call. I'm pretty sure he has his number, or has my number.
Yeah.
And if not, he can get it through Swain. Swain's got my number. So.
Yeah. Well, look,
cool.
I've got about, we got about 7-8 minutes of showtime with you left. Before we run out of time, because, you know, we're friends. We like to BS and relax a little bit. Take this next couple minutes and shout out sponsors or any event information, Twitter, Facebook, anything you want to get out there.
Yeah, first off, our website, man, unifiedcombatleague.com. Our sponsor, Living Guilty Clothing, MMA Madhouse Live. You guys are great too. The kind of our local, the local hub for us has been a place, ironically enough, called The Hub. The Hub Bar and Grill, they've been really good to us. They any shows that we stream or anything like that, they'll put them on. We do our weigh-ins there. You know, they're really good to our fighters. And so we'll be doing our after party there, our weigh-in party, the whole shebang. And again, Living Guilty Clothing, we're going to have that out. That brand is growing exponentially. And this staff that we're hiring right now is going to be getting that brand in gear. It's every place we've took it to, it's been it's sold pretty heavy, and right now we just want to start getting it out there a little bit better, but I just do not have the time to do it, man. So I think I woke up yesterday. I'm a little nocturnal, so I woke up at about 10:30, 11 in the morning, and I worked all day until about 4 or 5 in the morning. And usually that's about it pretty much for everything. Just updating the site, keeping everything going, making sure sanctioning's good. It's such a full-time job. That's why we're bringing on more staff, man. So, anyways.
Well, you know, we definitely, you know, we're going to be keeping close ties to you over the next months and having you on throughout the cycles of the tournaments, and as announcement comes on, and you're going to be able to find Jesse on different shows as well, that the Madhouse, under the Madhouse banner that we own and run throughout the United States, and some good friends of ours who run some shows on other networks. You're going to be able to keep up with this growth in different districts, you know, so, and we're definitely, this is going to be his home base, because we're going to pull him in every few months and pick his brain about the different progresses and who's making advances in the tournaments and what names you fans should be really paying attention to and what districts. So, you know, Jesse, you know, we got mad love for you here at Madhouse and what you guys do. You know, Unified Combat League, everybody, find these guys. You can go on to their website. They got all the links you need. You want to see great fights. You live local. Get out and support these guys, man. Get out and support all the different venues and their tournaments coming up. You know, Jesse, I can't say, you know, anything more than thank you for doing this tonight.
All right, man. Well, the feeling is mutual, man. You guys are helping us get the word out, and that's really what we need for a project this size, man. The NORAM Championship is huge. You know, it's a massive project, and it's only going to grow from here, man. So it's a little when you look at it, but when you kind of take a step back and look at it, when I tell people the idea, people just look at me dumbfounded like a deer in headlights, man. But again, you know, we know all the ins and outs of it, and we're just attacking each thing one at a time, and it's coming together pretty nice, man. So,
and make sure that everybody that can,
we're good,
that can get to Kamaya. It's Kamaya, right?
Kamaya, kind of a tough one. Kami Eye.
And that's going to be the first NORAM qualifier, right?
Yeah, that'll actually be the second. Yeah, the second NORAM qualifier. The first one was Spokane School of Boxing show just this past Saturday, December 15th. And if do I have time to give them a little shout out, man?
Most definitely, Jesse. Go ahead, brother.
These guys, man. I don't know if you guys were there or if you guys had one of your guys there, but that was one of the best cards I've been to. The best amateur cards that I've been to in a long time, man. I can't remember another card. Maybe our Sandpoint card. Maybe our last Sandpoint card with Swain and Lee Morrison on it. That one was a good one. But even then, you know, I mean, the level of talent they had on this card, Kevin Farger, man, this guy's doing big things. So he's it's hard in Spokane. It's really hard. A lot of the promoters, they don't like working with each other a lot. And Kevin somehow bridged those gaps, and he's gotten a high level of talent from a very a pretty wide array of gyms, and all top quality gyms. It showed, man. I think you have 11 fights. He had 6 or 7 of them go to decision, and then a couple more went into the third round. And then he had some freaking insane knockouts and some really slick submissions. So I mean, it was a good show, man. Really good. So if he did that well on a qualifier round, I can't imagine what his championship rounds are going to be like, man. So Spokane School of Boxing and MMA, they're the cat's meow as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Jesse, I can't thank you enough, man. Like I said, dude, you know, I'll be talking to you throughout the week, you know, and weeks and months to come. Everybody out there, especially if you're anywhere near, man, you got to drive out, and I'm not going to butcher the name, but Rise of a Warrior. Man, look, there's some great, great fights on here. We already talked about Diego and Tim. You guys could see Cody Smith take on Brian Morrow, which should be a really interesting fight. I mean, you got Alfred McClure against Wynn Cutbirth. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to go see that kid fight just on his name alone, man? I mean, that's
dude,
tough.
If it wasn't December, I'd think about driving up to Kami or whatever it is. I think I got pretty close that time.
Yeah, you got it that time. That's a tough name, man, but it's a good, great town, man. They've supported us since day one, man. At pretty much, I think every show that we've done, every year, everybody shows up, and I mean, I couldn't ask for a better hometown community than Kami Eye, man.
I know that you put on shows kind of around the region. How nice is it to be able to come back home and do a show?
Oh, dude, it's nice, man. Well, my wife's from Seattle, so we go over there and we spend a lot of time over there. Half my family's from Merritt, BC, where we do our other qualifier card. So we spend a lot of time up there. At that last Merritt card, we were gone for 2 or 3 months, man. It was nice to get home and crawl into my own bed, you know. So
yeah,
it'd be nice to see all my friends and family, you know. It'll be nice to see all my friends and family at this card and see my own hometown community, man, and the fighters, see how they're progressing. So it'll be a good event for sure.
That's great, man. Well, Jess, we appreciate you taking the time to come out and join us tonight. Did he already do his shout out? This is how bad I've gotten, so confused.
That's why
now.
We did it early. Remember, I did it like five
minutes. Oh, that's right.
You
did
do it.
That's the problem. Because you cheated.
Yeah, I think we're going in circles now.
Yeah, I do too, man. We appreciate you taking the time, Jesse. And before we all get too dizzy, I think we better wrap this up.
Right on, guys. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on tonight, man. Seriously, that's it helps a lot.
Hey, anytime, just so you know that. The door's always open for you, brother.
All right, man. Well, you guys have a good night then, all right?
Later. Oh, Lopaki, man. We got a few minutes before we go into overtime. I'd like to kick it into some overtime because I definitely want to talk about that fight down at Locked in the Cage. I know there's a few other things we want to talk about. So anybody out there who is listening, there's going to be a little extension on this. It'll be on the replay.
In about 4 minutes, we won't be live anymore, but you guys will still be able to catch it on the replay. We definitely want to talk about this event that happened. I know I do. Before we run out of time, I got to make sure all my sponsors get the love they deserve. We're going to start with Central.
Go the other way this time. Go the other way. Start up in the top left. Yeah, there we go.
Draco Impact Sports, Razorware, the cutting edge in MMA, BrawlBase.com, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at GetClinched.com. Protect that grill, people. Intimidation Clothing. You guys know what they're doing. Everything.
IntimidationMMA.com.
Yes. VisionsSmokeShop.com. NoPainJustGlory.com. DaneCrimes.com. Revolver MMA, guys. Go check them out. They got some killer shirts, man. I like the Tiger one a lot, but the Las Muertas with the two pistols, that's sick. Then Triumph Fitness, 24 and LV, man. They got the hookup in Vegas if you guys want to party. We were talking about them earlier, Combat Sports Insurance, Ink Tank Tattoo, Brass Bound Apparel, Big T's Nightclub, Central Oregon Trike, and Global MMA Consulting. Big shout out to Carrie Vu and the group over there.
Did you say 24 NLV?
Yes, 24 NLV, man. They got the hookup in Vegas. Dude, every time I even mention I'm going to Vegas, dude.
Hey, I got a challenge for everybody that's listening right now while we're still live. The first person to ever get a picture of Skippy working out at Triumph Fitness in, like, photobomb a picture with him in it. Of him, he has to be working out, though. This is the key. Skippy has to be working out in the picture. We'll get your choice of any two Madhouse shirts. And you can actually come and guest host the show one night. There we go.
Straight up.
I don't think I ever have to worry about that happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, that ain't happening. Because everybody at the gym just laughs at me when I'm smoking cigarettes.
I wonder why.
Well, dude, you know, it's kind of refreshing to be the one outside watching all those people inside, you know?
You feel like you're allowing them to live vicariously through you?
Yes, like I feel like they're jogging at that on that machine in the window, trying to get that cigarette they want so bad that they can't have. See, I'm inspiration.
That makes sense.
Especially when the coach and the owner, Joe, comes over and points at me and the whole class laughs and they work out harder. I'm inspiration.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, bro.
He'd probably come into the window and be like, see, you guys don't want to be like Skip, work harder. I know he has a picture in there for the boot camp class.
Oh, dude, he probably got video. They probably have, like, YouTube videos in there playing of you trying to, out there smoking your cigarettes. They're like, do you want to be like this guy? Do you want to see this guy?
And, dude, you know what's so sad is, I mean, Joe has one of the few excuses a person could use in this world to be a fat, lazy bum. And he didn't, you know. I mean, he's a superb athlete, great Brazilian jiu-jitsu, runs a phenomenal set of gyms. I mean, this guy's a baller, dude, and he's, you know, he's missing, you know, both, just like Nick Newell, but he's missing both arms from the same spot as Nick Newell. But, I mean, this guy rides a motorcycle. He's what do you call those, like cross games where you do all that stuff outside in the mud and like kettlebells and ropes, and he's won that a bunch. Yeah, dude, he's a tough SOB, man. Cool, man. Him and his brother Chris, good people. Okay.
Oh, man, I think it's just great that they want you to be working out, bro. I think
yeah,
we're about
I
to
know.
Go dead air for the listeners, so don't worry. We're just going to cut off probably mid-sentence. You guys will get over it and be okay.
Well, look, what we're going to be talking about is Locked in the Cage 14 Judgment Night. There was a Chris Wing versus Cedric Chocolate Thunder Goodridge. Biggest bullshit call I've seen in quite a while, and that's what we're going to delve into. So you guys are going to want to catch out the replay. First of all, let me read the cards. 27-30 for Goodridge. The other two cards are 29-28 for Wing, and it was nowhere near that. Nowhere near that. Dude, 30-27 is the closest thing to write on that whole thing. Goodridge had at least two, if not three, of the rounds.
No, yeah, I mean, that was, I thought, a pretty simple thing to figure out in that fight watching it. I gave the first round to Wing. And now the problem is it's been 5 days. I didn't have notes on this fight. I just remember how egregious I remember it being. But I'm pretty sure I gave the first round to Wing. And I just have been too lazy to take advantage of my GFL and go back to watch it over again.
I'll tell you what. We've got us a special guest caller. Just made it in with 3 seconds left. Carl the Madman. What is up, buddy?
3 seconds, yeah, I was wondering, man. I didn't think I was going to make it, that's for sure.
Yeah, 3 seconds when I answered it.
You're only an hour, 59 minutes, and 57 seconds too late.
Well, I thought we were starting at 8:30 tonight.
We should have, my friend. We should have.
Carl, I miss you, brother. I miss the greatest producer in the history of any MMA broadcast. And that's the Madman Carl, dude, because I'm telling you right now, dude, I don't know how you do it, bro. I got my ass kicked all night long on this board, man. It was horrendous. Dude.
But you have lots of callers or what?
Holy shit, Carl. We had so many callers. And I was unmuting and muting and trying to, like, put names in because they're all the same area codes. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, brother. I like being on the microphone. I don't like being the producer at all.
Well, hopefully we don't have to do that too much. I apologize. I had things I had to deal with today that I completely forgot about until about, an hour before the show or so. So, I'm glad I made it in for the last 2 seconds, though, because I guess it is the last episode of MMAMadhouse.com Live for 2012. So, I'm getting in here just in time to say, thanks to all our listeners and 2013 is going to be even bigger.
Yes.
I totally think so.
Hey, Carl, don't go nowhere. We're going to finish this discussion real quick on this fight, and then we're going to kick back and bullshit with you a little bit.
I don't got a ton of time. I'm going to have to still bail. Glad I got in for a bit.
Hey, Carl, we got mad love.
I think you should
do
a guest spot on Rogue Radio this weekend.
Yeah.
I'll try my best.
Dude,
Skippy can get on your nerves at times, but I'll send you a couple Sixers of Molson Ice, and that should be able to help you tranquilize yourself enough to deal with Skippy.
Oh, and hey, Carl, all I gotta say is Merry Christmas, brother, from Team Madhouse to you for everything you do in the way of producing all the different shows, from all the duties the president has to deal with. I want to thank you from the whole team for everything you've done for us this year, the years before, and I hope you enjoy your Christmas gift.
I'm sure I will, man. Thanks. We would be nowhere without all of you guys, though. It is Team Madhouse, like you said. Hashtag.
So, Carl, how do you find the energy to put up with all of the Madhouse goofballs?
What do you mean? It's a blast, man. You guys are all so fun.
We might be fun, but we're all crazy.
Anyways, gentlemen, I should probably boogie. I'm glad I got in just for the last few minutes, though. So.
Hey, well, Carl, we'll talk to you again. Let me know about Rogue. We'd love to have you come on and just bullshit with us. I got a feeling this week's going to be crazy because we'll be dropping the new sponsor for the show, and we'll have a brand new walkout song, and it's going to be a rocking show, guys. You guys don't want to miss it. And Carl, tell the family thank you for everything they do to support us, and go enjoy them, and we're going to discuss this fight now.
Okay, well, you guys have fun in OT, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, I'm sure.
All right, Carl, Merry Christmas to you and the family, brother.
Yeah, you guys too, man. All the best over the holiday season.
Hey, we're not politically correct right here. It's fucking Christmas Day.
If you say so. You're talking to one very atheist guy here, so, I'll
just
go with the holiday.
It's Festivus.
The holiday season works for me.
Happy Festivus, Carl.
Festivus, yeah. There. Perfect. Got to get that on a shirt. After I get my heat press, I'm going to make up a shirt that says Merry Festivus.
And I will know, hey, I'll have you all those answers tomorrow, Paul.
No worries. Okay, have a
That's
good
right,
guys.
You will, Skippy, or else. I'm coming across your ass and dealing with your ass.
Or else.
Oh,
later, boys,
shit,
I'm out
like,
here.
Later,
later. We don't need Canada invading America. Okay,
so. Dude, how sweet would it be if Carl would do, like, go Red Dawn on America?
Dude, that'd be crazy. All of a sudden, Canadian just invades us. All of a sudden, we're all speaking with A.
And drinking Molson Ice.
and praising. Isn't Justin Bieber Canadian? I sure hope the fuck he is.
Yeah, I think he is, dude. You know, they got Justin Bieber and George St. Pierre. I feel bad for those guys.
And Rory McDonald.
Yeah, and Inspector Gadget himself, a fucking goofball.
Okay. Back to this Goodrich fight. You know, I thought Goodrich outworked his ass, especially in round two and three. And, you know, I just can't understand. And, you know, how these judges can see. Look, I gave round one like you did to Stephen Wing, okay? And I barely gave it to him. But round two and three, man, was just such a dominating performance. I mean, dude, what is wrong with the system of judges sometimes? For one judge to see it that way and the other judge to see it so, well, the other two to see it so completely wrong.
Dude, I think that what happened there is that the judges kept seeing Wing shoot takedown after takedown and didn't realize that he was getting sprawled on and wasn't actually getting the takedown. And they're like, oh, point. He shot. He shot in on him. That's a point.
See, that could be there lies in the problem that, you know, we got to figure out a better judging system or a better system of criteria for the 10 points that, you know, right now they award as a must. Because I find it sad that this kid definitely won a fight and he got robbed straight up. Got fucking robbed. Even if you gave round one to Wing, there's no way you could have given round two and three. You just couldn't, man. I'm just confused by it. I was very, like, wow, really?
Well, dude, I think the thing that's the most confusing is that here recently we've had a lot of split decisions, Skippy. I mean, you talk about this, like, nearly, I guarantee you, at least once a weekend, some weekends two or three times. Is that how can you have a split decision fight? Okay, what is a split decision? Like, if I told you, hey, this guy won by a split decision, what, like, if you're just going to tell me, oh, what's the first thing you'd say to me about the fight?
I would have said, the first thing I would have said about that fight is Gary Goodrich looked impressive.
I'm talking about any split decision. You don't know the fight. Like, all I said to you is, like, John, like, if I sent, you know, like, when I'm at Cage Sport and I send you a thing, it says, Benny Vincent defeats so-and-so by split decision. What are you going to, like, what are you going to infer on that fight? That it was close or that it was a blowout?
Well, I'm going to think that it was probably a close fight, but let's be honest, a lot of people out there don't even understand what a true split decision is, you know. It's not that, you know, the cards per se said this guy was a better fighter than that. It comes down to the judge's opinion and what judges agree and disagree with each other on what the fight took place. So for me, a split decision, I got to think that the fight was close because obviously one judge felt it went one way and another judge felt it went completely to the other fighter, you know?
Yeah, so how is it lately that we've had an influx of decisions that have been split decisions with the guy losing getting a 30-27 score and the other guy going 29-28, 29-28? How are these three guys watching the same fight? If you're going to give three rounds to the guy that lost the fight, and the other two judges only give that same person one round, well, we should have a question and answer after the fight with the freaking judges, man. Why are the fighters the only ones that are at a press conference being questioned about shit? let us talk to him and be like, dude, how did you see all three rounds for Joe Schmo, and this goofball over here saw two rounds for Johnny Appleseed and one round for Joe Schmo?
Yeah.
Because they need to figure out what they're all looking at, because I think that's the biggest problem, is that these guys don't talk to each other and say, hey, what are you looking for in a fight, so that they can grow as a group rather than this one guy going, well, I think today I'm going to score takedowns, and today I'm going to score how well this guy throws a jab that never hits anything. You know, they need to all be on the same page so that they're all looking at the same stuff.
Well,
who's
and,
the fucking
and,
fight the same way? Have some control
what
you're doing.
I just
call
believe...
Sean Wheelock and schedule a fucking seminar.
You know, like I said, dude, I this fight, you know, really, I just could not believe it. You know, when I saw the cards live, I was like, are you shitting me? It was such an egregious error. And the only thing I can personally really think is that one of the judges, like you said, must have been thinking that, okay, and you guys, I think it's round two. He gets shot in. Goodrich gets a single leg on him. And he gets pushed to the cage, never taken down, never taken down. This guy tries for over 35 seconds before the referee breaks it up. Now, if you're going to score that as a takedown or a point when the other guy was outstriking him before the takedown and continually striked him while he went for a single leg, you know, I don't know where you get it. The head kick, I believe, was in round two or three where he fell. Dude, that once again, that was an easy slip. It was not a knockdown in any way, shape, or form, so you can't give him that round. I mean, he spent the better part of 2.5 minutes clinched up against the cage trying to take Goodrich down, and Goodrich just kept lunching on him, kept holding him there, kept keeping him from taking him down. So you have an active fighter like that. A referee or a judge has to look at this fight and say, look, I know this guy's going for takedown, but he's not completing it. He's taking damage. I cannot say that he's the aggressor. Just because he's shoving the guy into the cage and fighting over and over for a single leg doesn't always mean that he's the aggressor and should get the points. The guy who's doing work, constantly punching the ribs, sprawling out, going for the underhook to pull him back up, pushing the head down, you know, dude, that's the aggressor. He is not letting his game be taken from him. He's imposing his game. Yeah, he's stuck against the fence, but he's striking more. He's stopping the takedowns. He's, you know, he's working. I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, you know, the referee breaks it up twice in the same round for him pushing against the fence, not doing anything. So how did he get that round?
Dude, because he got it, bro. You didn't realize?
Dude, and anybody out there wants to know what we're talking about, you guys can go to Go Fight Live anytime and buy it. I think it's $9.99. You'll own it for life. That's the cool thing. All their pay-per-views you own for life. You can watch this fight over and over and call back next week and tell us we're full of shit. But I'm telling you right now, Goodrich totally, totally was the more aggressive person.
I decided he won the last two rounds, man. I mean, I thought he won the last two rounds, and I didn't see how that fight was given the wing. But, I mean, you know, there's been times where, I'll go back to a fight I always go to. I didn't think BJ Penn lost the first fight in Abu Dhabi to Frankie Edgar. Somehow Frankie Edgar got the decision. You know, these guys, I just want some conformity on how they're scoring fights. That's all I'm asking for. If we're going to start going to a takedown-heavy sport, then what we're going to see is guys going to take down, they're going to let the dude up, they're going to take him down, they're going to let him up, or they're going to take him down and they're going to hold him there.
Well, did,
like
you know,
Colton Smith did to Mike Ricci.
Look, I've said it before on many, many occasions, dude. The Western influence of collegiate wrestling is turning the sport to a different aspect. It's becoming more of a point sport than a finish sport. And, a lot of fans out there love it. They love to see these wrestlers get in there, and that's cool and all. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of the sport, period. And I know wrestling's the base of the sport. But I agree. We need to look at the judging system different. And I think pride, period, first and foremost, pride rules for judging. Judge the fight in its entirety.
Yeah, I think that is the best route. I'm not a big fan of the half-point system. I think then now – I mean, these guys can't get a fucking whole point system, right? And we're going to expect them to be able to figure out a half point system. Let's just be honest with ourselves and tell them to judge the whole fucking fight as a whole. I mean, half the time these guys can't even add a fucking card up right. I mean, I'm pretty sure we all remember the flyweight fight with McCall and Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, you know, that's another interesting aspect that could easily, as amateurs and pros, be introduced throughout the country. You know, if you're going to go with a 10-point must system and you end up with a draw, that because almost every single state out there allows a fighter to fight five rounds in one night. You put it in, look, if it's a draw at the end of three, you're going to have a sudden death. You know?
No, sure, dude.
That could help the problems with draws, which I'm sick of seeing.
What would happen if we went to where you had to finish your fight in order to win? Like, you have to you're locked in the cage until you finish the guy or you get finished.
I got better than that. Something that's realistic that we could honestly pull off. I wish these goddamn organizations would team up and say one thing. We want a 10-minute first round and a 5-minute second round. Let's separate the men from the boys. How many fights, Lepaki, have you seen in the 5 minutes being this close to being done and the bell saves them and they come back? You know, let's let the fight go a full 10. Let's let these two boys battle out, show their cardio, show their ability for 10 straight minutes. It was good enough for Pride. Why can't it be good enough for everybody else?
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes I think that you actually get, when they get that, like when that happens, then you tend to sometimes, like that's when you get your wars though, because like, hopefully, the guy that was getting beat down in the first round realizes he needs to go back and do some stuff and, try to take the fight to where he wants it.
I agree. I ultimately think that there would be a totally different outcome on 40% of fights if you had to go a whole 10 minutes your first round.
That'd be crazy, dude. I wouldn't mind seeing that again, though. But I'm not sure that they could handle that here in America. In America.
I think you would see some people's cardio show through quickly. Not having that minute and a half to recover, you know, almost 2 minutes sometimes to recover between the first and second round. If you did, you know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, we've seen a lot of fighters come back round two and round three and really shine and catch their second win, per se. But if you had to go a whole 10 minutes and you got a cardio freak like Sean Sherk molesting you, man, wow.
I think you like that thought.
Oh, well, Lepaki, we're going to... I got a big message. I'm going to go get some dinner, get some work done. And tomorrow night, I will be filling in for Full Guard Fight Radio host London. He is not going to be able to make the show.
You savage, Skippy.
There's some
you're
crazy
selling
people
out. You're
calling
going
in.
To Full Guard Fight Gear. Why don't you just stay at Full Guard Fight Gear?
I was asked as a favor by London, so I told him I'd help him out.
You know me, dude. I step on everybody's throat. I don't care if they're Madhouse Umbrella or not. I'm stepping on their throat.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys need to check us out, me and Lepaki, Friday nights and Saturday nights when we do Rogue Radio. This shit gets crazy.
And I'm just
crazy,
kidding
folks.
For all the listeners out there. I don't want to step on anybody's throat at Full Guard Radio. They got a good show going on. And you should be turning into it.
You should. Everybody, once again, I thank all my sponsors. Lepaki, I thank you for kicking back. Carl, we missed you tonight. Thank you to all our guests. You know how we end our shows. Eagle!
Peace out, bro. Thanks, listeners, sponsors. We'll talk to you guys next week.